This is some time afterwards, probably about 600 years after that promise to Abraham. What's the story? How had the promise fared since then? God promised three things to Abraham. He promised a new people. He promised that he would take him to a new place, what we call the promised land. Put that a little bit higher, give us some space. And he promised his presence as well. He promised he'd be with Abraham to bless him always. And, well, wonderfully, that one man, Abraham, had turned into many, many people since then. Let's put that up there for a moment. And so, yes, the promise of people, that's been fulfilled. The place, well, I'm not so sure. They're now not in the land God had promised, in the land of Canaan, but they're in the land of Egypt. You may remember the story of Joseph and how they ended up in Egypt at a time of famine, and now they're actually stuck there as slaves. So that's not looking so good. The promise doesn't seem to be working out so much there. And what about the promise of presence, for God's presence to be with them? Well, I guess in some ways we'd say it's not looking very good. They're in Egypt and they're slaves there, they're being persecuted. All the baby boys that are born are actually thrown into the River Nile. So they're suffering real persecution, genocide, and Pharaoh's trying to wipe them out. And I guess that's not a very encouraging sign of God's presence. And yet at the same time, there are encouraging signs. God seems to be acting for them. And these plagues that God has warned Pharaoh of through Moses are coming one after the other. They've had nine of these plagues. And so it does seem like God is there in the mix as well. Now, there were 10 plagues in all. They've had nine so far. They've had the River Nile turned to blood. They've had a plague of frogs swarming up on the lands. They've had gnats and boils and cattle dying and so on. But this last plague, the 10th one, is different from all the others. You see, with all the others, God acted through Moses and Aaron. And God told Moses to lift up your staff, and when you do that, then the Nile will turn into blood, or the flies will come upon the land, and so on. This time, God doesn't say to lift up your staff, Moses. Why is that? Well, it's because this time, God is actually not just going to work through Moses and Aaron. God is going to come himself. God's going to turn up personally. Now, you can see that. If you look at verse 12, it says, "Therefore, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." So God himself is coming. Now, of course, the arch enemy of the people of Israel at this time. I think we'll take off our merry men and we'll pop him up there. The archenemy is Pharaoh. He's the one who's the king at the time. He's the one who's refusing to let the people of Israel go. And as God passes through the land, what is God doing? Well, he's bringing judgment upon Pharaoh and the firstborn of every household, from the oldest to the youngest, firstborn from the richest to the poorest, will die that night. It's a terrible plague, isn't it? A terrible judgment. So God is acting in judgment on Pharaoh and on all the land of Egypt. Now, the people of Israel, he says he's going to treat differently. But the trouble is, the people of Israel are no different to the others, are they? Just have a look at verse 30. It says, "Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead." God's presence swept through the land, and every single household met with judgment that night. But he had special instructions for the people of Israel. He said that they were to take a lamb. Here it is. Sweet little lamb. And they were to take a lamb, and they were to have the right sort of number of people for each lamb, so that every single person was involved, every person was represented out of the people of Israel. And that night, they were to kill the lamb and sacrifice it and put the blood on the doorposts. And God said, as he passes through the land, then he will see what they've done, and he'll pass over that house. So just have a look at verse 13. It says, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, the point of this isn't that God didn't know where they lived, as if he'd sort of dropped his address book somewhere and he wouldn't be able to find their houses unless they put some kind of marker on it. It's not that God, you know, his sat nav had run out of batteries and he didn't know how to find them. But he says there, when I see the blood, particularly that it must be blood. And why is it? Well, it's because the blood shows that a death has already happened in that house at night. So when God's presence came through the land, then judgment came upon every house. But in the houses of the Israelites, judgment came upon the lamb instead of upon the Israelites themselves. It's when God saw the blood. And I guess as we look at this, we have to recognize that we're no different from the Egyptians or from the Israelites. Psalm 130, we're singing a little bit from this psalm later, says, Lord, if you mark our transgressions, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand? Now, if God is standing there with our record of sins, who could stand in his presence? God is like a fire that burns up everything. All sin must be burned up in his presence. How can we enjoy the blessings of God's presence when, just like the Egyptians, just like the Israelites, we've not loved the Lord as we should? Well, of course, the great message of the New Testament is that this lamb was just a foretaste of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus would make for us. If you would like to turn with me, turn to Luke chapter 22. I'll give you a page number, page 883. 882. Sorry. Thank you. In fact, go back to 881 first. Okay, so Luke chapter 22. And first, we'll just read verse 7. Verse 7 says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And what did Jesus do? Look at verses 19 and 20. It says, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus is saying, this is my body, this is my blood, and I am going to be the lamb that is sacrificed for you so that you don't have to face God's judgment. And it's because of Jesus' death for us, of course, that we don't have to be like Pharaoh, for whom God's presence meant judgment, but we can enjoy God's presence, and wonderfully, we can enjoy God's place in eternity. I'll just turn that upside down because I've lost my little smiley face. So we can enjoy God's presence in eternity. Now, I think Passover really has two big lessons for us as we look at it. The first lesson that I see is that we are to rejoice. We are to rejoice. Passover was a feast, and constantly, year after year after year, God's people were to feast as they looked back on what God had done for them. And the people were told to trust in the sacrifice that God had made for them. Now, I guess there'll be some people today who would say, well, do you know what? I don't need to be in the house. I know God has said, you know, to the Israelites, you must, you know, stay in your houses all through it. I don't need to be in the house at all. You know, really, I'm just going to stay out here and I'll be fine. There'll be some others who say, look, I'm in the house, but I don't think I really need the lamb at all. I mean, I'm fine, I'm safe in my house. And it may be for some of us today that we've, you know, been part of a church, you know, perhaps we've been sort of in the house, and perhaps we've sort of grown up in church and we've thought, you know, I don't really need the lamb, you know, I'm fine. But actually, without being in the house, without the blood of the lamb, then we will face judgment at just as Pharaoh did on the day that the Lord Jesus comes to visit us. But for those who are inside the house, those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death for us, then we can rejoice. We can rejoice that we are forgiven forever. Now, I've just got one more thing here in my little bag. And, right, I could do with my assistant again, Lydia, if you don't mind. Right, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to light this match. I'm not going to light that match. That match is broken. Try another one. Okay. Right, just let it burn for a little while. Are you getting worried about what I'm going to do? Do you mind just taking a match and lighting it? Okay, there you go. These aren't trick matches, but might be a bit dodgy. What's that? There we go. Bear us. Here we go. Right, take hold of this instead. Okay. Right. Sorry, hold that for me. You're going to have to excuse me. This will be worth it in the end, right, this time. Okay, just hold that. Now, once a match has been burned, and you hold it under a flame. Sorry, you're going to have to forgive me. This isn't going well. Thank you. Go and have a seat. once you get a match that's been burned, and you try and light the match again, it's not going to happen, is it? You're not going to be able to reburn the match again. And it's like that with God's judgment at the cross. Once God's judgment has fallen on the Lamb, on the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot fall again in the same place. But fire will never burn the same thing twice. back in the American days of the North American Indians, when there was a prairie fire that would sweep across the plains of North America, it would go too fast for you to be able to outrun it. They can go at sort of 30, 50 miles per hour across the plains. We've seen that in California just in the last summer. And so the North American Indians, in order to escape the flames, to deal with it, they would take a patch of ground and they would set light to it and burn it, burn everything on that patch. And then when the flames came of the prairie fire towards them, they would stand on the patch that had already been burned. And as the fire rushed towards them, it would come to the patch that had been burned they were standing on, and it would go round it because it couldn't burn anything else on that same patch. Now, when we come to face God's judgment, then we have to make sure that we are standing on the ground that is already burnt. We have to make sure that we are in the house where the lamb's blood has been shed. Because once God's judgment has fallen on the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot fall on us again. So for us, if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can rejoice. But also, we need to make sure that we are remembering. In Psalm 78, we find God saying that the people of Israel have drifted away from him because they've forgotten to remember. They've forgotten to remember what he's done for them. And so we need to make sure that we're remembering the cross every day, remembering with thanksgiving, remembering with our confession of our sin to God and trusting in him afresh. And today, of course, as we take the bread and the wine, we're doing what the Lord Jesus taught us to do in order to remember him and to remember the sacrifice he paid for us. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Lord, we thank you that we can rejoice because Jesus has died for us. Jesus has paid for all our sins. Father, thank you that no matter what we've done, we're no different to the Egyptians, no different to the Israelites of those days. We must take shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be standing on the burned ground. And Lord, thank you that we have this forgiveness. Help us always to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Help us to remember every day in our prayers with thanksgiving, in confession, coming afresh to the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us as we meet together as a church family that we'd always be remembering what the Lord Jesus has done for us so that we might live in the light of it each day. In his name we pray. Amen.